podcast where sales and marketing talk. Welcome to another episode of Frenemies, the podcast where sales and marketing talk. My name is still Julia Hartwig. I stand for marketing here, and I'm talking to...
I am Ahmed Albayrak, and I am the sales.
Yes, today we want to talk about something that's upon all us. That's the start of the year. And I think one thing that sales and marketing have in common in that is that everything is reset to zero.
Yes.
You're just sitting on this massive pile of targets you have to reach, and you're kind of starting from scratch. Even though, is that actually a thing we have in common? Because of course, like, so normally all of the marketing targets are set to zero, but actually in sales, I mean, you're sitting on pipeline that you can still turn into revenue, right? So actually you're not working off of zero. I mean, you have things that you can work with, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know, how it looked like at the end of the year, it's actually a little bit weird, you know, at the end of, because every company should have, you know, it's like they have quarterly reports. So they want to close as many deals as possible before end of the year. So it's actually a hard time for us. You know, it's like our managers are in general pushing us to, hey, you know, it's like set that meeting. You know, it's like, hey, close that deal, especially for account executives, you know, when they have something going on, and it's when it's at the end of the signing stage, they are pushed to push prospects to sign the contract. And yeah, and how is in marketing looking like at the end of the year?
I mean, I think that the end of the year is an interesting time because in the core, you know, you can't do much anymore to influence the end of the year. Because you know, anything you're driving right now most likely won't turn into revenue before the end is finished, like the year is finished. So it's kind of course, you're getting a lot of pressure, and a lot of times there is this tendency to, you have unused budget, so let's spend it on a bunch of activities that, you know, that don't drive impact, but it's to show that, like, yes, we're doing our part, yes, we're supporting you, but you know that this is not what's going to move the needle. So generally, it's, you know, the start of a year is, of course, a time again where you're sitting on those targets. You also just have a new budget, which, looking at 2023, for most people is going to be quite a bit smaller than it was up to now, which of course is its own challenge. But you know, you have kind of this time of the entire year, of the quarter, to get results. And of course, likewise, same as in sales. I mean, in that, we are not really starting from scratch, because the awareness you have built and the demand you have created in the market, I mean, that is a consistent thing. So everything you drove in the previous year, of course, is also going to, like, translate into the new year, where you're going to see a lot of those leads coming in with a higher intent, ideally. Especially in the start of the year, you also have this pressure of, we need results really fast, and you need to show that the start of the year is really good. You are, like, you know, delivering on your targets, and that can also lead to very, you know, quick and rash decisions and focusing on short term rather than long term impact, just because you need to show that, you know, what we're building, what we're doing is working. And most of the times, how you show that is by delivering the targets.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's like what I also see, especially in, you know, tech world, in tech sales, in tech businesses in general. You know, it's like they want, you know, it's like they all say, in, you know, not talking for everyone of them, but it's, for example, for my side, you know, B2B sales is a long-term strategy game, that I put it all the time like that. You know, when I explain what I'm doing, you know, it's like, it's B2B sales. So because you have to build the relationship, you know, it's like, it is always afterwards, there is a customer success side of it. You know, after you get the customer, it's not the end, you know, because right now, everyone has tons of options. You know, if you open Capterra or G2, you can see tons of other competitors at one page. You know, it's like, it's also there is comparisons on every aspect of your tool, and you know, it's like it's really hard. But what they in general miss, you know, saying these kind of types of things is just, hey, let's get them on the board. We just, you know, it's like we don't, they sometimes overpromise about their product. You know, it's like they, most of the times I see a lot of people, hey, you know, it's like before I bought this software, I thought it should has this and this feature as well, but it didn't. But when it's something like a serious tool for your business, like a CRM system, for example, you know, you put all the leads in it, you know, in the trial stage, you know, you make all the arrangements for your own business, you know, customize it in your own way, and you commit it in a contract for 1 year. But what you get at the end is not what you really expected. So this is also a problem. So in order to solve that, you know, it's like what I'm always, you know, it's like thinking, you know, it's like the pace of, you know, the increased, unnecessary increased pace, the pace of sales should be decreased. And at the same time, you can generate as much as revenue as businesses did as today. But in the long term, you will have more MRR, ARR, in comparison what today is. You know, it's like most of the times, you know, when you give them 6 months of contract and they leave after 6 months, a customer churn is a really big issue. And they also lose trust, actually, in technology. In the most of the cases, you know, people are heard of, you know, technology. Hey, you know, it's like we should implement tech in our business. And they are mostly, you know, it's like over 50 guys, you know, the owners, you know, the real decision makers, in especially in SMEs, you know, so they're over 50, you know, they heard about it, they want to use it, but with these fake promises, you know, they just also lose hope, they also lose productivity for their own businesses as well. What the other companies don't think, you know, it's like economy is a whole organism that you cannot separate these SMEs from your own business. When they're not doing well, when they're not working efficient, you will not work efficient as well. You will not get much customers as well. And I was like, there should be a really good balance. And when we lose the balance, now we have an economic recession, of course. So, you know, I just wanted to get it out from my system. So
I'm here to listen, but I think you just made a very interesting comment that again connects sales and marketing, and that is those false promises, because it's oftentimes something that's being said about marketing as well, that marketing, you know, tries to turn everything bad into something good and phrase it and sell it and promote it in a way that makes it sound like a benefit, even though it's actually a disadvantage. So I think that's something that truly connects us, and maybe this should be our New Year's resolution. No fake promises in marketing and sales.
Yeah, be real. You know, there is the app for it. Be real. Guys, you know, be open about your product. Not give fake promises, and do not overprice your product because of your costs are higher. Especially for the big guys.
Another interesting thing you just mentioned that I wanted to ask about. So you said that, you know, towards the end of the year, there's a lot of pressure coming to AEs to close any deals they have in the pipeline that are close to being signed and get the sign off within that financial year, which in my experience is kind of the opposite of what the buyer wants, because a lot of the time the buyer wants the contract to be signed in the new year, so it actually goes into the budget of that new year. So how do you navigate the situation of, you know, kind of the what you're being told from leadership is going exactly against what the buyer is saying to you?
Yeah, you know, it's like what I heard, but I talk with other people, other account executives on that, is they give, for example, everything is decided that, let's say you want to buy a marketing product, but you want to do it in the new year. They just give an extra discount in order to get it closed within this year. And it's, for me, it's a big issue. You know, it's like, I don't want to, as a seller, I don't want to you know, sell this with a discounted price because, you know, it hurts my commission as well at the end. And, you know, most of the companies, in order to, you know, just, for example, for some of them, they have quotas like, you know, sending offers. And for example, when they say, hey, we will not buy it, we don't have the budget, and it's a real objection, let's say. And they just say, hey, no problem, we will just send you an offer. You know, it's just an empty activity to fill the numbers, you know, just get the numbers. Hey, I just sent an offer to Julia and she declined it. Why? I don't know. It should be avoided and at all costs, in my opinion. But as I explained before, you know, say with the current system that we have right now, it's just working like that.
I mean, that's the same in marketing. So I think, you know, we both have like towards end of the year, this massive pressure of you need to kind of get done what you can. And there's the same tendency in marketing to invest in these like low converting activities, but to say, okay, we've done it. And to feel like, you know, oh, we've generated this and this many leads. Yeah. There was no beef on the bone on those leads, but hey, we generated them. Look at what we've achieved. We've tried. And then this just trickles down literally the funnel to SDRs, to AEs, to just try to do what you can, to just book meetings, even though you know the qualification probably isn't there where it should be, and so on and so on. Yeah. But is that a big advantage of the new year? So do you see that being different once the new year starts?
You know, it's a problem of the system, actually. You know, it's about the company culture as well. It's a problem of the company culture as well. Because, you know, when a company really doesn't create a realistic goal for their employees, you know, it's like everyone, even, you know, in the C-level, they are like trying to reach their numbers, not targets, I'm saying, numbers, just numbers. You know, I just hit this. We just did, you know, this amount of cold calls. We sent this amount of emails and all that stuff. And it doesn't change. You know, it's a new year. So, okay, we will send, our target is send more numbers. So do more. You know, so, but how? You know, so where is the quality? You know, it's like everyone is, by the way, no one is, you know, so everyone is mentioning about quality. It will be, we should focus more on qualified leads. You know, it's like we should focus on more, you know, it's like different channels when we do outreach. But at the end, everyone does the same thing. Everyone pursues their own goals. It's a good normal thing. You know, it's like everyone should in a company pursue their own goals as well. But it should also tie it up to a common goal, a company goal. And this is the main the issue. You know, when everyone just goes after themselves, their own interests, it just, you know, it's not a company. It just, you know, it's like people with the, you know, titles on the same place, on the same Slack channel, doing the different things on the same parameters, you know. So that's the, you know, it's like the thing that we need to, the companies need to solve.
Yeah, because this leads to the game of finger pointing of, but hey, we in marketing achieved our targets if those targets are leads. And then, you know, SDRs are like, well, we booked the amount of meetings we did. So that's like AE's fault, AE's follow up. And, you know, it just moves on and on and on. And, you know, it's not really being resolved. Nothing is being done about it. And that's just kind of, you know, history continues.
Yeah. You know, so I just, you know, experience it so much that, you know, everyone points someone, you know, it's like, hey, I booked a meeting, but meetings were not qualified. But, you know, it's like the leads came from marketing. You know, it's like everyone just, hey, marketing's fault. You know, it's like AE's fault. You know, it's like our strategy is false. You know, it's like everyone is just, and I personally, you know, so I don't like excuses, you know, so I don't like to, you know, blame someone for something, you know. When I see a problem, I try to solve it. When I can't solve it by myself, I just try to get help. That's all. That's all my strategy, my personal strategy in my life with Sales Fellowship and all the previous, in my previous work experiences. I just try to learn it before asking it. Because it's also, you know, it's like getting help is also important, of course, but getting help without doing any research, you know, it's a stupid thing. You know, it's like people asking each other stupid questions. Hey, dude, do a 2 minutes research. You can get the answer. You know, you don't have to get help for, you know, this unnecessary stuff that you, unnecessary problem that you have. That's also a problem. You know, it's like, it also, all everything comes down to communication, of course. You know, it's like, it's also the thing of communication, how you communicate. Because in most cases, in some companies, they think, hey, we have a great communication, but it's not a real communication. It's just people bothering each other, right? You know, it's not communication when you bother someone with unnecessary things and when you interrupt them doing their own business.
I think what makes it so difficult, especially now where we're talking about switching from one financial year and calendar year to the next one, is like this move for quality takes time, right? So at the beginning of the year, nearly everybody normally agrees on, yes, this year we're going for quality instead of quantity. And then you start out. And in marketing, if you haven't started this in the previous year, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to switch towards demand gen approach. If you've run on a lead gen approach before, it just doesn't, it's not something that goes tomorrow. Yeah. So you start out and you move towards quality, and then you figure out, you know, already end of the month, maybe even 2-3 months in, this takes time and we're not seeing results. So all of a sudden, you know, everybody panics, and then it's like, nope, let's move back to what we know because it's somewhat predictable. And I think it's the same tendency that happens in sales. Moving towards quality, having less calls and making them more qualified also takes time.
Yeah.
Because you have to allow SDRs, you have to allow AEs to do research and to focus on other things than just calling. And the old mechanism is still to just sit there and track how many calls has each SDR made? How many emails have they sent out? And I think it's something that's really difficult to get away from, especially within senior leadership, because those are the methods you used to track and to predict.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, it's like you put, for example, for sales, you put actually a great post, carousel post about it, about your ICP. And I was like, in most companies, what I see, even, you know, it's like they're in the, you know, seed stage, or they just got a recent fund, Series A, they don't really have a really good ICP, an ideal customer profile identified. And that's actually the biggest issue, because they know it in their backend, you know, so if we need to find some really good target, then we need to do some outbound activity on that. But it's not that clear. Because it's not that, especially for some products, it's also difficult to find a great niche to, you know, it's like to target. But once, if you didn't find that, you can't switch to, you know, it's a quality if you don't have a good ideal customer profile identified. And that's one of the main things in a company that, you know, hey, I sell to this with, you know, like with all the specifications, you know, everything should be there. Everything should be clear. Also, you know, so it's not just for the C level, also for the, even for the SDRs, the basic SDR should know, hey, I can sell it to X kind of person from the X amount of, you know, headcount having company. Or something like this, you know. So it should be, everything should be so much clear. ICP should be so clear, have to be, not should be. It have to be so clear, then you can actually go out, seek after qualified outbound activity, also marketing as well, I am assuming.
Yeah, and I think this is a good starting point, actually. If you want to align your sales and marketing function more, I mean, this needs to be the starting point of who is actually our ideal customer profile. Because again, in a situation that currently in a lot of organizations, sales and marketing have different targets, most likely they are looking at their own parts, right? So marketing is looking at like the ideal customer profile based on, well, who is like, you know, who is most of our leads? Where do we have the best conversion rates? Where do we create the most leads to what cost? And sales is, of course, looking this in a similar way, but for their specific part. And, you know, a lot of times kind of this objective, like, let's look at the data of who are our customers actually, how have they converted, where have they converted, and also what does our customer success team say? Like, are they successful customers? Do they get the most out of our product, or do they actually have a poor adoption rate and just until now haven't figured out that they even, you know, pay for us? And I think that's a big starting, big priority and a starting point to align those departments more. Because a lot of times, at least what I felt, we talked the last time about that, you know, SDRs and sellers can be very subjective in what they think like works and converts and who they want to talk to. And I think this is a part as well that, you know, a lot of times what I heard from SDRs is like, we want to talk to the decision makers. We get the best results from decision makers. Where for us in marketing, it's like, but when you look at like, you know, I mean, there is so many other people involved before the decision maker. Yeah. And is this actually a proven thing that just because you talk to the C-level, they are more likely to buy our solution?
Yeah, it's actually what also people are missing is there is always a champion in every company, also in the small ones. You know, it's like he or she's not in a decision-making level, but she, you know, it's like looks after new tools to implement. In every company that I was, there was some guy who's not a C-level, because they don't have time. You know, it's like hey, let's do a trial for this product. No, it's not also their job. You know, they are the final decision maker. They will sign the contract, but you know, they have a team, right? You know, it's like, and their team is looking after, hey, Julia, you know, it's like, I'm in your team and I found this tool, and they reached me out, we arranged a demo, I looked at it, I want to see you as well. Hey, let's do a trial. You know, it's like would be, or, you know, it's like with your, now you're a manager, you know, in the C level, and you don't have that much time. It's also harder to reach you out to arrange a demo, because even, you know, so you're interested, you look at your calendar, you don't have enough time for it. You know, what you do next is what I see, you know, even reaching out to the decision maker, they say, hey, I have a guy for this, you know, or I don't know, XYZ manager looking after this tool. Let's contact him and get him into the emails and he can book a meeting. Actually, he's the decision maker, but there are other stakeholders involved in this process. Actually, these are the guys actually sign up for through your website, for example, you know, for the marketing activities. You know, when they see, hey, actually, we are looking at some tool like this. All right, let's do this. You know, then let's sign me up. You know, when it's a webinar or something like something else, you know, it's a guide or, you know, for a trial or something, you know, they are signing up. And because we are so focused on, hey, I need to close this as fast as possible, as salespeople, you know, as fast as possible, and I should go to the next one. And we just forget, hey, you know, not a single person that are working in that company. You know, there are multiple processes. It's a finance guy is always trained. They're always in all these processes. So whatever you sell, you know, sales tool, marketing, finance, or any product, they're in. So you can't forget them. You know, when they sign up for something, you know, you can say, hey, it's not our ICP or persona that we sell, so we will not contact them. It's a bad qualified lead from marketing. It's, you know, we need to change the perception of B2B sales as well in that sense. Because, you know, when you limit SDRs, you know, so much just, you know, to book meetings, you know, your job is book meetings, do outbound activity, book meetings. And you also keep them saying it's an entry level job. You know, it's like you have to be promoted to account executive, I don't know, within a year. You give them, you know, you lower the quality of the job. You know, SDR job is being an SDR is the most important thing in sales. You know, it's like they open doors. So what else do you need? You know, it's not. I'm not thinking. It's entry level. It's never. It never was, and it never will be an entry level job. But when you approach it like that, you know, you got some newbies in it, you know, new SDRs, and you keep them saying, hey, you will promote within this amount of time to another positions. And I don't think, you know, to becoming an AE is a promotion. It's not in my eyes. It's the same thing, but just you, instead of opening deals, you're just closing deals. It's the same thing.
But I think that's something that always fascinated me because I've seen the same thing that you just said on like the SDR role being branded as this like, yeah, this is your entry level role. And at the same time, as you say, it's such an important role. The amount of people SDRs speak to on a day-to-day basis and are like the first impression a lot of times that a company has of your product or solution. And then you're branding this is like, this is the entry level and they just started. Whoa, but at the same time, these are your faces in front of so many people that could be your potential customers. So isn't it kind of twisted how this is getting sold?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, it's like just there is so many things that needs to be changed because, you know, it's like we just someone sets the rules. There was a book about, you know, like splitting the sales roles between SDR, account executive, and customer success about 10 years ago. If I can remember, we can just write it down in the description later. And no, so after that, everyone follows the same path. And in time, we think, hey, we should get everyone who wants to go and sell tech sales into an SDR role directly, make them do outbound calls. You know, they are representing your company and you don't give them enough training to do that. And they just ruin your reputation. You know, it's like, hey, there was a guy, you know, it's a pushy guy. He just, you know, do a horrible cold calls me all the time, sends me generic emails. You know, it's like this company, what was it? XYZ. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't want to hear about them. Even it's a good product. Even you have a good product. You know, if the meal should be served well, you know, if you put the best meal on the world and just throw it to your customer, they will not say, hey, it has a great taste. They will say, oh, what is going on here? You know, saying, I don't want that. That's the most important. How do you serve? And you serve with your SDRs.
And I think that's another thing that I find so fascinating because as you say, a lot of like companies try to jump the gun with their ICP and say like, yeah, our SDRs should only speak to director, VP and C-level. But at the same time, you are fully aware that SDRs don't have the same experience and expertise on the subject that AEs might have or other roles within your company have. So you want to put your SDRs that, as you say, a lot of times aren't trained in the way they maybe should, don't have the confidence they need to do it. And then you want them to speak to those stakeholders that, you know, have high expectations, that have very little time, and most of the times also very little patience. That's why SDR is such a difficult job.
Yeah. But for me, it's the best job. You know, I love it. You know, I love to get in contact with people, building relationships and everything. You know, so we are building a community on it. You know, I'm loving it so much. Now I'm building a community on it. And the thing also, it's also so important to, you know, it's like, it's another topic actually we can talk about. You know, it's like how marketing and training, employee training of marketing and sales, we can just make a comparison on that. They only tell about their product. No one cares about it. You know, when I was out there, you know, talking to people about the solution I'm selling, no one cares about we have this amount of G2 review and we are this good, we have this future. No one cares. You just need to focus on the problems you solve. They just want to hear that. I have this problem. Can you solve that? No, we have this future. And these SDRs, you know, getting only a product training, talking to when they reach out to C-levels, you know, they just talk about, hey, we have this future, we have that future, we are this good, our Mercedes is our customer, DHL is our customer, X is our customer. I don't care. You know, it's like, I don't care. I have a problem. Are you solving it? Or, you know, it's like, you have to discover if there is a problem that you can really solve. There is a pain point, you know? That's the biggest issue for an SDR to solve. But in most of the cases, we are doing it otherwise, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I think we got some good points here on things that need to change in 2023, both in sales and marketing with SDRs, and also a great New Year's resolution to basically stop bullshitting.
Yes, do some real marketing and sales. But I don't know if real marketing exists, but...
Maybe next episode we'll talk about what real marketing means and what real sales means.
Yeah, definitely.
But thanks for today and happy start of the year. Yeah.